Our cup is brimming over.
Brimming over.
Brimming over. Glory to God. You know, we don't always see in the natural, when we're looking around, we don't always see exactly what God says we have. Right? There's been times in my life where it didn't look like my cup was running over. It didn't look like I had abundance in my life. But that's why we have a Bible. That's why God is God. Glory to God. That's why we come to Him and we learn from Him. We come together and we hear from Him and from His Word, so that we can start to see the picture that God has for our lives.
Yeah.
His idea about our lives is different than our idea.
Amen.
Or
Amen.
What we see in our life. And so we always want to be sure when we're reading the scripture, when we're hearing the scripture, when someone's ministering, we want to be careful that we don't just think, well, that's not me. I don't see that. I don't have that. Well, God presents stuff to us and offers things to us. And He shows us what our lives can be.
Amen.
What He wants them to be.
But
there's things that we need to do to align ourselves with what He wants for our life, put us in a place where we can receive all that He has.
Amen.
One of those things we need to do is just believe what He said. I mean, there's some other things that are good to do to align yourselves with the Word of God and the things of God to receive all that God has for you. But the first, the primary, the big one, is believing what He says. Is for
Amen.
You. Is it belongs to you. He wants you to have it. Because I know I've grown up, so, you know, in my family where I grew up, we were not poor. I mean, my parents both, they worked hard. They provided for their family, and we always had a roof over our head. We always had food on the table, but we weren't necessarily rich, meaning they still worked really hard, right, to get and provide for what for their family. And it's interesting because my family always pointed out the fact, they didn't point out the fact that we weren't poor, and they weren't thankful for the fact that we had food. They were pointing out, you're not rich. You know, you're not rich, they'd say. You know, you're not rich.
Yeah.
And so I had to renew my thinking when I came to Christ, when I started to realize, wait a second, God says my cup can run over. That my life can be brimming with blessings, that it can be running over with His goodness.
Yes.
And I had to get the, you're not rich, out of my thinking.
Right.
Are you saying you're rich? Well, if you look at my bank account today, I don't know, according to the IRS, that I would qualify as, the highest tax bracket of rich.
Right.
But am I rich in God, in all of His blessings, in always having my needs met and provision? Yes. And one of the big reasons is because for a long time now, I've believed His Word.
Amen.
I believe that what He said about me is what I can have. And what He wants in my life. And I've started to talk that way. I've started to think that way. Praise the Lord. Well, this is so different, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's good. We want to make sure that we're seeing ourselves the way God wants us to be seen. God's provided all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
According to his word, he's Amen. Pertained things that pertain to our godliness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's provided things that we need. He's provided the way for us to pray and communicate with him. He's provided us the Holy Spirit who
yes.
lives on the inside
Amen.
Of us. Yeah. He's Amen. Provided us all things that pertain to godliness. But he's also provided for us all things that pertain to life here
yes.
on earth.
Yes.
He has plans for every single one of us.
Yes.
He has things he wants every single one of us to do. And it's our job to see it in the Word, to believe what he said about us, and then to walk it out in the natural. And that takes some skill. It takes a little bit of effort to determine, is God's plan for my life here in this place? Is it over here in this place? Which one is it? Where is it? How do I do this? Well, God will provide all things, but we have to believe that he's good enough to get us in the place we need to be. He's yeah. good enough to help us out of places we don't need to be in.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's better to us many times than we are to ourselves.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Right? Right? He believes better. He believes in us more than we believe in ourselves sometimes. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, any good parent
Amen.
Yes.
is going to believe in their kids.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Even when they're messing up, even when they're not doing the right thing, even when they're just, you know, you wish.
oh.
You wish they could get a clue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or, you know, make some adjustments or just wake up.
Yeah.
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 yeah. Amen.
Not just your kids, but they're a good example.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I still, even when my kids say they were in school and they were hanging around people I knew they shouldn't be hanging around. And I told the Holy Spirit, you know, I was praying about it. Lord, what should I do? Should I tell them, no, you're never going to be around them again? And the Spirit would say, like, no, let them learn this lesson on their own. And so I had to stop, you know, stand back and let them find their way on their own. Sometimes God will let us do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
God will stand back and let you find your way.
Yeah.
Right? But even when I stood back and let my kids figure out, oh, that's not the relationship I need in my life. Even though I had to stand back, I never stopped believing that they would do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I never stopped loving them. I never stopped seeing all that they could be, the potential that was on the inside of them.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I never stopped seeing the best.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God. God sees the best
yes.
in all of us.
Yes. Yes.
And as people come into our lives, we're supposed to see the best.
The best.
Yes.
You see the best.
The best in them. Glory to God.
That's right.
We're just flowing with this today because this is not what I have on my, well, I don't have notes, but you know, not what I had in my head of what we were going to minister today, but here we are. So we've been ministering the past couple weeks now about how to pray for your family, how to pray for your loved ones. And one of the things we've been ministering on is when we pray, we don't pray and look at the person and see, oh, they've messed up so bad, there's no way God can reach them.
Right.
Because that's just not true.
Right.
You know how I know? Because God reached me.
Amen.
God reached you, right?
Yes.
When you weren't necessarily looking for him, and you weren't necessarily wanting to find him, and he's still in his goodness got to you. He opened your eyes. He helped you to see. His goodness found you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God. God's good. He's good.
Yes.
He's good. He's good, and he wants to reach into people's lives and transform them.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. So when we're praying for others, when we're praying for family members, when we're praying about you know, somebody that's near and dear to our heart, we don't need to think about how messed up their lives are, or how many times they've made a wrong decision. We need to focus on how good God is, and how amazing he is. To get somebody in the right place.
That's right. Amen.
To help them to see.
Amen.
What only God can help them see. Amen. Praise God. We need to be focused on the fact that God's so good that he'll send people into the lives of those that we love. To talk to them and to minister to them.
Yes.
And to help them see the goodness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's so good.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we look in Psalm chapter 1? We'll see if we can make any sense about what we've been.
Thank you.
Talking about here. Praise God. Psalm chapter 1, it says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Who delights in the law of the Lord? What kind of man? The man who's not walking in the counsel of the wicked.
Yes.
Not standing in the way of sinners. Not sitting in the seat of scoffers. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, so... A blessed man, we could say it this way, a blessed man doesn't find himself in the wrong spot.
Amen.
The wrong spot is, you know, the Bible uses that word wicked. We don't necessarily use that word wicked. So, you know, you're wicked.
No.
It used to be cool. Back when I was a kid, things were wicked. But we could just say natural, someone who doesn't know God, right?
Yeah.
Blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of natural people, doesn't just look at people, you know, the counsel of the world, the counsel of people that don't know God, think they know God, but really don't. Come on now, you know, they aren't serving God. I tell you what you should do. You're not going to receive much blessing around those people. The people that are always trying to tell you their opinion, always trying to help you out about what you should do and where you should go and who you should hang with and you know, that type of thing. Blessed is a man who walks not in that kind of counsel, not natural counsel. They're not standing in the way of sinners. That doesn't mean you get in the way of somebody. You know, right? When the Bible talks about the way, it means the road or the path where, again, when we think of sinners, we always think somebody terribly evil. Just think of somebody who doesn't know God, right? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Without Jesus, without receiving him, there's only one other category, and that's sinner.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we're not calling somebody wicked. We're not saying you sinner. We're just saying these are people that don't yet know God. And we're not supposed to be standing around with them, hanging around with them all the time. We're not supposed to just be getting our counsel from the natural people. And we're not supposed to sit in the seat of scoffers. I could stop right here for a while, praise the Lord. Because all of us from time to time, what's a scoffer?
A naysayer?
That's one way to say it, yeah? What about someone who's just always has a comment? A negative comment. Can always find the way you're doing things wrong. I'm gonna see this big back wall. Right? We need to be careful. My family, when I grew up, my family was extremely sarcastic. I mean, that was their way of fun. You know what sarcasm is, right? You got a biting remark for, you know, kind of a little bit of a dig. Of a remark for somebody when they say something. I do my best not to be sarcastic, so I can't even come with an example right now. But my family was very sarcastic growing up. One of my son's friends in high school gave him the National Sarcasm Award when he was graduating. Because between myself, my family, and my husband, it comes natural to my kids, to most of us. It's really easy. You know what sarcasm is? It can quickly turn into being a scoffer. Why? Because am I saying never joke around with people, don't be fun? No, that's not what I'm saying. You understand, we all joke around with one another. Those of you who have been here, we have fun with one another. It's not that. It's when you start to sit there. Right? When you start to sit there and your mind always has a comment, even if you don't say it, your mind is always finding the negative, always tearing apart somebody's outfit, always, you know, thinking they shouldn't say this, always laughing at what somebody does. Oh, this is fun today. Praise the Lord. Welcome to church, everybody. So blessed is a man who doesn't walk in these ways, doesn't walk in the counsel of the natural world, doesn't stand around and hang out with people that don't know God. Not that we don't want to minister to people. And we all go to work. I mean, we're all going to deal with people who don't know God, and that's appropriate, actually. But we're not standing around there all the time, right? And we're certainly not going to sit ourselves in a sarcastic pool of scoffing. But this person, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And of course, this is the Old Testament in the Psalms. When we put ourselves into the New Testament and we see this word law of the Lord, we're just thinking this whole book, right? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the Lord, the Lord's word, his word. And that goes back to what we started with this morning by saying we need to believe what God says about our lives.
Amen.
How do we start to walk in the fullness of his blessing? How do we start to see our cup running over, brimming over? We've got to start delighting in what God says about our lives.
Yes.
I mean delighting. Have you ever delighted over something?
Yes.
You know, delight can come in all different ways. But what I've found is the best delight is when God has provided something for you. and you get to partake of it. A very minor and maybe small example, but this morning it was cold out, and I was wearing this, and I went to my closet, and I thought, I don't think I have a coat that goes with this, you know, like a dressier coat. And I opened up the closet and realized that a year or two ago, God led me and helped me purchase a coat for a trip I had to go on. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, I forgot I had that. And I delighted. Why? Because God had provided ahead of time. And you know what? I was like, I really like that coat. Hey, I forgot I had it. And I was realizing that there are times in my life where you can open up a closet and be surprised, because God's already provided something for you. God's already blessed your life, and you can delight that He is taking care of every situation. And you might say, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Why is she talking about a coat? I'm just giving a small example. But, I mean, you can do that. There have been times where in the same pile or same envelope, or I might get an email that day saying, praise the Lord, you owe this bill that you didn't know about, and it's going to be this amount. And within a day or two, I can go to the post office and pick up my mail, and a check for that amount is in the mail.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Delight. Delight. Why? Because when you delight in this word, His word starts to work in your life. And starts to manifest, and His provision starts to show up in your life. But this doesn't happen overnight. And so the psalmist was helping us see, guys, this is not, we have to watch where we walk, we have to watch where we stand, and we have to watch where we sit.
Amen.
Where we park. Right? Sometimes I'll say, I'm going to park myself on this couch this afternoon, right? If it's been a long week and I need to rest, I'm just going to park here. We need to be careful where we park. We want to be parked on this word, believing what He said about us. And this can be a full-time occupation.
Yes.
Meaning every day we're reading His word. Every day we're partaking of Him, what He says about us, about our lives. And it transforms us. Glory to God. We meditate on His law day and night. Verse 3 says this. This blessed man that delights in the law, he is like a tree planted. Anyone ever driven by like a gardening center or a nursery and you see all the trees, but they're just a little bundle of roots on the bottom, and they're all wrapped up in like burlap or something like that. They're not planted yet,
no.
Right? And therefore, they can't grow like they're supposed to until they are planted. Planted in the ground, in a particular place. Glory to God. And this place, the man who delights in the law of the Lord, he will be planted by streams of water.
Amen. Yes.
Huh. Streams of water. We don't have too many of those in Colorado. You have to go up in the mountains, right, to get to some rivers. And those are beautiful to look at. But I don't know, where I grew up in Western New York, we have water everywhere.
Yes.
We have rivers. We have lakes. We have falls, we have, you name it, you know, we've got it. And so you could plant trees in the vicinity of a lake or a river or a stream, and they would flourish and grow without you having to tend to them very much, because they were able to draw water continually. They didn't have to wait for somebody to come water them. Blessed is the man, because he'll be like a tree that's planted by streams of water.
Yes.
And actually, this was the phrase I wanted that was in my heart this morning. He's planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. And in all that he does, he prospers. That yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Who prospers? The man who delights in the law of the Lord, delights in the word of God, delights in what God said about him, who he is, and decides, I'm going to choose what God says about me. I'm going to believe what God says about me instead of what I think about me or what the scoffers think about me or what, you know, what the natural man thinks about me, what my family thinks about me. Whatever the situation is, I need to choose to believe what God says about me. When I decide to do that, praise God, I'll prosper in all that I do. But notice this, this middle phrase, he yields its fruit, or the tree yields its fruit in its season. There's times for things. There's seasons for things. And many of us, myself included, will sometimes want to jump past one season and get to another. And we've got to remember what we're starting with. God's good. He's always there to help us and to lead us and to guide us and show us what is next.
Yes. Yeah.
But we want to make sure that we're following him and not just trying to jump to the fruit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We've got to learn to stay planted where we're at, where God plants us. Because I understand this. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying, reading this verse because it was on my heart this morning. I'm not saying this. I didn't even know some people were going to be here this morning. So I'm not saying this to anyone in particular, kind of just in a general blanket statement. But when I... when I received the Lord, when I got born again, what the Bible says, called being born again, and I became a Christian, and I met my husband about a year later, and when we decided to get married, all hell broke loose. I mean, he started having panic attacks. My mom got cancer. I mean, you name it. Everything happened. And a lot of that was the enemy trying to prevent us, because it would have been so much easier for us to say, maybe this isn't God. Maybe we shouldn't go this direction. Maybe we shouldn't proceed. Maybe it's not the right thing. You know, the enemy will throw things into your life to try and get you to think, oh, this is Christ telling you this is not the way for you.
Right.
When really, the enemy, it's not God at all. It's the enemy trying to pull you out of where you're planted.
Right.
What God has for you.
Amen.
Right? God was trying to plant me with my husband. He was trying to bring that union together. And, oh my goodness, everything came to try and dissuade that, to stop that. And so... I had to realize and get past all that the enemy was doing, all the distractions, all the trouble, and check in my heart to see, is this what God has for my life? And once we determine this is, then I'm planted.
Yeah.
And we're not going to move.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's so good.
We're planted and we're not going to move. And when we do that, we'll yield fruit.
Yes. Yes.
Our leaf won't wither. In all that we do, we will prosper because the Bible says we will. But it takes time. It's a process. When my husband and I first got married, we were in our 20s. We didn't know much of anything.
Yeah.
A lot of you are a lot further along in the things of God than we were at that time. Mm-hmm. Although we loved God. God was very gracious to us by helping us get together and get to the right place where we needed to be. But so once we got married, he was traveling at that point when we got married, he was traveling throughout the nation, really, with a Christian music group. And so I went out with him after I graduated from college. First of all, I had to stay. I was like you guys, we were apart for the first year of our marriage. It wasn't fun. That's not fun. And we were apart, and then finally I got to go out and be with him. The group that he traveled with, it was a Christian music group. They traveled. They were doing concerts every night in, you'd say concerts. It was like a Christian music group. Like if you went into your car and turned on a Christian radio station and heard some pop music, it was that kind of idea, that kind of music. They were, the group he was with, they were some of the top 10 whatever. Got Dove Awards and all that stuff. So that kind of music. They were in churches every night, but they would do their own, a concert. So they traveled all over. Mainly, they traveled in the South. I don't have a clock. They traveled in the South. I'm a Yankee. I'm from the North. It was like going to a foreign country. I mean, technically, they did speak English. And if you're from the South, great, that's awesome. I feel like I'm from the South, too, now, because I've traveled there so much. So, but I'm just saying, it was culture shock for me. It was culture shock. And again, everything in the natural, everything that the enemy brought to my mind, even my relatives were saying, get out while you can. You know, like, why are you doing this? And I had to remember that I needed to delight in his way, in his plan, in his goodness. I needed to stay planted. Amen. And even though I was in a different location, I was still planted in the plan.
Yes.
Amen. Planted in the plan of God.
Yes.
But let's just say, it wasn't necessarily the most fun I've ever had in my life, traveling in the South, in a different culture. We stayed in host homes. We stayed in a different home every night with different people. Ha! That's fun. We were in different churches. We saw all different kinds of things. I'm sure he was very sweet. I had an elder of one of the churches come and verbally ream me out during one of the concerts because I was in the back. I wasn't on stage because it was my husband that was the musician there. I was actually back with the T-shirts and the cassettes, and we had cassettes, yes, and CDs. I was back there with the table, and I had a sweet, I'm calling him sweet by faith, a sweet man that was an elder of the church come and actually yell for a good 10 minutes at me because the concert was so loud. And I wanted to say, sir, I have nothing to do with that. Go talk to the director of the group or the sound man. And the best part about it was during the softest, most beautiful song that we would do during a concert. It was such a beautiful song, and he was missing it because he was yelling at me about how loud it was. So what am I saying? Roundabout way to say, even when we're planted in the right spot, it's not always going to feel comfortable.
That's right. Yeah. That is so true. Yeah.
Right? It's not always going to feel fun.
Yeah.
growing has some pains along with it, you know? It has some issues along with it. Praise the Lord. And so we want to make sure when we get planted somewhere, and I want to be careful how we say that. We want to be planted in the plan.
Planted
in the plan of God.
Yes.
Okay? Planted in the plan. Because I understand, like I said, I was at, you know, I was in New York, and then God, I got married. The plan for me was to move to be with my husband and to be in the South for a while and to travel. And it was not comfortable for me. It took some time for me to get used to that, but I needed to delight myself in the plan.
That's right.
I had to learn how to get delighted, to be in the right spot, and just decide, even though it's not comfortable to me, even though this is not natural to me, meaning I'd rather be in the north.
Yeah.
It sounds silly, but that's where I was at. I mean, I was 22 and away from home, and, you know, a lot was going on, and it just would have been more comfortable to be home, but that wasn't the plan. And when we get planted somewhere, we need to make sure we stay where we're planted.
That's right. Yeah.
In His plan.
Amen.
And not just wander away because it's not comfortable.
Yeah. Wow. So good. Thank you.
And when we'll do that, we get to yield fruit in its season. In its season. Fruit comes in seasons. Now, when you have a fruit tree, if you get a little baby fruit tree, right? We don't plant them here in Colorado. It's not going to work. In California, yes, you can get a lemon tree or an orange tree. You can get avocado tree. You can get a tree that's supposed to bear fruit. Actually plant it in the ground out there, and as long as you have irrigation, because they do need water there in Southern California, believe me, there's not much to be had otherwise. You water that baby, and even at 3 or 4 feet tall, in a year or two, in the right season, you're gonna get some fruit.
Wow. Right.
Yeah. But it might be only like 2 or 3 or 4 oranges. It's not gonna be 100.
Right.
That little tree can't hold that much fruit.
Right?
So it's not going to bear that much fruit. And as we grow in the things of God, we need to make sure that we don't get upset that we don't have more fruit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When I went, after we traveled in the South, I learned to delight. I learned to get excited to be there. I learned to love traveling. We were out there probably, 15 months, and my husband came to me and said, I really feel like I'm called to go to Bible school, so we're going to leave and move to Oklahoma. And I started to cry. Now, I was crying before because I was stuck in the South traveling, but I had learned to get delighted about being there. And I really was enjoying myself and being in the plan. And now all of a sudden, the plan, to stay planted in the plan, I was going to have to leave and go somewhere else. And that did not sound exciting to me. And so I started to cry. Praise the Lord. I have a very sweet husband. I know we're going a little bit long today, but when I started to cry, he was shocked. Why are you crying? What's wrong? Isn't this cool? God told me I'm supposed to go to Bible school. I said, that's great for you. But what about me? And I literally said this. What am I supposed to do? Stay home and knit? Remember, I'm from New York. I just kind of say it like it is. And he looked at me and said, well, you can go too. Meaning I could go to Bible school too. I don't have to just move to Oklahoma and be stuck at home. And I was like, really? Okay, let's go. And so we had to work out you know, how to work together, how to move together where we're going to be planted, what we're supposed to do together.
That's right.
And God delighted to show us and plant us in a place where we could grow even further. And that first month I was there in Oklahoma, I was in a church service at the church we were called to there at Rhema Bible Church, and my husband was not with me, so he must have been, it must have been a Sunday morning, because he was playing in the orchestra at that time, and I was sitting there by myself, and we were just praising and worshiping. I had my eyes closed. We were singing whatever song they had on the screen, and everyone is in worship, and in a blink of an eye, I see a little vision. I see myself ministering in a huge church. Yeah. Now, ministry was not on my radar. I mean, preaching, teaching, anything like that, not on my radar. And I just saw myself on a stage with a ton of people, and I had a microphone in my hand, and I grew up singing. I'd gone to school to sing, so I don't know why I just assume, well, you're going to be leading in song. But I knew somehow in my heart when I saw that, I saw myself preaching. That was in 1993, the fall of 1993. Do you understand that hasn't happened yet?
Yeah.
What I saw. Talking about our tree yielding fruit in its season. Everything has a season, and you're gonna yield fruit. You're gonna produce fruit as you grow. But at first, it might be 4 oranges.
Yeah.
And then 8, right? And then 15. And then 30. And as you go, more fruit will be produced. The trick is not to jump ahead of that season. In other words, I could have, when I saw that and knew I was supposed to preach, I could have aligned my life. No, I've got to preach. You know, after we spent 7 years there. 8 years, 9 years, I don't even remember how long. We spent that long of a time there.
Yeah.
I went to Bible school, and then I helped in the nursery, and I was in the choir. You know, I was doing all kinds of ministry of helps things. I wasn't preaching like what I had seen. And then the next place we went to, we pioneered a church, and my husband was the pastor, and he did the preaching, and I did the other stuff. And it was fine, because that was the plan. I was planted in the plan.
Yes. Yeah.
Planted in the plan, and I was producing fruit.
Yes.
Maybe not the same amount of fruit or type of fruit that I have today, but I would not be doing what I'm doing today if I didn't stay planted where I was supposed to.
Yes.
So what are we saying? Everything has its time. For everything, there is a season.
Yes.
Our job is simply to delight in where we're at.
Amen.
And to recognize when it's time to step to the next thing.
That's right.
And when we do that, it all works out good.
It does.
Hallelujah. And we'll yield fruit. But don't press the idea that I've got to be further ahead than I am. Because we all do that. I don't know. I do that. It's so easy to look at yourself and say, well, if I had just done this earlier, if I had just, I don't know, if I were already, you know, for those of you who are single, if I were already married, if I had already just done this, if I already had this going, just stay planted. And delight in His plan,
yes.
His law, His word, His prompting. And if He's prompted you to make this step, then we're going to delight in that, and we're going to thrive where we're planted. Now, there are some people, I'll close with this, there are some people who have, I've watched through the years, That's one thing about being in ministry for a while. You can see some patterns of people. And I've watched where somebody has decided, I'm supposed to do this. And they just... We have some friends. When we were back in Bible school, I'll just use it from long ago because you don't know these folks. Some friends of ours decided, I'm tired of serving here. I know we're called to ministry. We're going to do missions. We're going to France. And I was like, wow, that's a big move. That's a big move. And they're like, yeah, we're just going to do it. I mean, they started selling their furniture. They quit the job they had there at the ministry. They started planning and doing all this stuff. And they get right up to the point where they're supposed to leave like in a week or two. And they finally realize, you know, we're doing all this on our own with our own ideas. This isn't God. Thank God that they discovered that before they got to France. Right? And they were able to go back to their boss and say, you know, do you mind if we stay a little bit longer? Do you mind if we, because they, I mean, their house was connected to the ministry they worked in and everything like that. But I mean, I've watched people try to jump the gun, try to press past the stages of growth that are necessary, the layers of light that come from time being planted by streams where you can be fed the word and grow in those things. And so we just want to make sure, we want to be like the tree that's planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And in all that he does, glory to God, in all that you do, no matter if you're 4 foot tall, 6 foot tall, you know, no matter how much fruit there is in your life, in all that you do, it prospers.
Amen.
If you'll delight yourself in him and his goodness. Praise God.
Amen.
So I hope this helps some of you this morning. The Lord wants the best for all of us, and we want the best for all of you. We want you all to be in the right spot, in the right place where you can thrive and grow and do what God's called all of us to do. We want to do it at the right season and the right time and the right way. And when that lines up, there's peace attached to it, and there's joy and fulfillment attached to it. Even if some of the parts of it aren't pleasant or naturally appealing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Father, thank you today for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your help. Lord, we've done our best today to follow you and to yield to your spirit. And we thank you for every single one of us that's in this room. We thank you for the plans you have for everyone. We want everyone to flourish, everyone to be where they're supposed to be. We thank you for your prosperity. We thank you for your plan. We thank you that as we delight in your law, in your word, in who you've asked us to be, as we delight in where you've placed us, and as we put our hand to work in that place, we thank you for your blessing and your abundance. And we thank you for the fruit in our lives. We don't diminish the fruit, even if it's small at first.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for it. And we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.